You're listening to the podcast of Hillside Christian Fellowship. Hillside is a community of believers in Millersburg, Pennsylvania. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by this week's message.
Well, welcome, guys. Are you excited to be together? Because here's the thing, when we gather, this is something God's really had in our hearts to go after as a church, that we don't just meet because it's Sunday morning and it's been tradition for 2,000 years, that on the first day, because Jesus rose on the first day, the saints come together and they sing songs and they pray and somebody preaches. And we've become traditional in a way that I believe has robbed the world of the greatest gift that Jesus left behind. And that is Christ in you, Christ in all the saints, the hope of glory. And as we go after it, as we're intentional about saying, no more business as usual, no more let's come and gather and hear a message and say, hey, that was a great word, and then go back to our daily lives. Let's actually meet as if Jesus is actually present in the midst. Wouldn't that be amazing? Like Jesus said, when two or three are gathered together, I'm there in the midst of them. And he wasn't using a metaphor. He wasn't just saying it's going to be as if I'm in the midst. He said, there I am in the midst. So there's a living presence of God right now in our midst. Now, how many of you know that Jesus could be with you and you don't even know it? Remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? One of my favorite stories in the New Testament. They're walking along all discouraged, and Jesus just sidles up alongside them. They didn't recognize him. He just rose from the dead. They didn't recognize him. And he's just walking along on the road. They're talking together. He walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I'm his own. He's doing that all day long, and they didn't recognize him. And there was Jesus physically present with them. He could be spiritually present too, and we not recognize him unless we're intentional about saying, okay, Jesus, so you're here right now. What's on your heart? You're here right now. How do you want me to manifest you from what's on the inside of me? If you've been born again, Jesus is alive in your heart. That's not a metaphor. He's actually living present on the inside of you. That's why you're changing so much. That's why, compared to who you were 5 or 10 years ago, that's why, compared to what we used to be 20 and 30 years ago, almost unrecognizable in terms of our character, the fruit of the Spirit that's in our lives right now. Because he's alive, he's real, he's not just a belief system. You guys with me? You okay with this? All right, so when we gather together, the things that Jesus wants to do, there are things that he wants to accomplish that we could not accomplish if we'd stayed separate from one another. Now, we use Facebook Live now, and it's been awesome. We've been able to connect. I know some of you have been home sick. Some of you who are like normal people and stay home when they have a three-day-old baby, and you want to stay in some. So, Becca, I can't believe that you're amazing. You really are. I got to say that and get it out of my system. You're here with a three-day-old baby. That's just extraordinarily impressive to me. You should have 20 kids. If you got, I just wanted to see that reaction right there. So anyway, wait one second, babe. I'm so sorry. Do you feel like you need to share that? No? Okay. All right. I want to make room for that. My wife had something, but she has to leave for she's got to do something. So where was I? Okay. So we're together. And there's this phrase we use. Remember, all you parents can relate with this. When you get a gift for your kids and it comes in a box, and on the outside of the box it says some assembly required. You know what I'm talking about? I avoid those gifts at all costs. I'll pay $20. Go ahead, put the bike together for me. I'll pay an extra $20 because some assembly required is code word for you'll be using words that you thought you never used anymore in about an hour. That's what it usually means. But so, you know, you put things together. But when the Spirit of God's involved in something, he takes a multifaceted body, a multicolored body. He takes people who would otherwise have nothing to do with each other. I don't know about you, but I can fairly acknowledge that there's some that, you know, a normal everyday life, we wouldn't be friends with each other, but we have something in common. It's like when we get close. Like, I'm going to just use Steve because he's here right now. I didn't know who this man was a few years ago when I got to the Valley, and I don't remember exactly all of what happened the first time we met, but before he opened his mouth, I felt something leaping on the inside of me because I got close to Christ in him, got close to Christ in me, and like John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb. Something came alive inside of me because I got close to him. And that's what it's like to get close to someone else who carries Christ in you. That's why geographically it matters that we gather in one place. Now, the building's not the church, but to have a place to gather, to assemble the parts of the body together is important. And there are things that are missing if we don't actually assemble together in one place. So here's an old covenant picture of what Jesus is doing in our midst. What happened there? Didn't I have a picture in there? I thought I had a picture of the tabernacle in there. All right, well, it was there? I'm sorry, it got deleted or something. No, that was the wrong thing. So anyway, in the old covenant, there was this tabernacle, and that was a place where the Israelites could have God's presence in their midst, and they carried all the different parts to it. There were posts, there were curtains, there were altars to be carried, there were boards, there were different coverings and skins, there was incense, there were all these parts of it. And as they walked through the wilderness, the tribe of Levi was responsible to carry all of those parts. And each clan, each family had their own part that they carried. So one clan carried all the boards. One clan carried all the curtains. One clan, the Kohathites, carried all like the ark and all the precious pieces on the inside. They all carried their own parts. But in order in that covenant to have an encounter with God's presence, they had to put it all together. They had to put the boards up. They had to put the curtains up. They had to assemble everything together. It was a movable worship center. Now, in the New Covenant, you and I are the tabernacle. You and I are a portable worship center. Wherever we go, God's presence is there. We don't have to go through hoops. Praise God, we don't have to do all of what they had to do to come up into the presence of God. We carry him inside. The veil was torn in two, indicating we are right there. And we carry him on the inside now. So all we have to do when we're born again, when we have Christ in us, we don't have to get anywhere. We just have to stop for a second and tune into something that's already on the inside of us. That's what it means to be a Christian. It means that Christ in us is always available, 24/7. The one who watched over Israel never slumbered or slept, neither does the one who dwells in us. He's always available, always ready to be interacted with. We carry him. So in a sense, all of us are a tabernacle. But in another sense of what tabernacle means, we each carry a portion of the full tabernacle. Ephesians puts it like this. It says, "For you are being built up together, a dwelling place of God in the Spirit." So the things that have to be assembled, that have to be brought together, really to have the presence of God dwelling in the midst of his people. And that's why we have fellowship. That's why we are the body of Christ, interconnected. So Hebrews in chapter 10, coming up on that great glorious hall of faith in chapter 11. In light of the fact of all this, and by the way, over the summer, we're going to be going through the book of Hebrews on Wednesday nights. I'm just really feeling drawn to teach that book all the way through. You will celebrate the new covenant like you've never celebrated it before when you understand that book. I'm getting all filled right now just thinking about reading through it again. It is so full of life, so full of joy, so full of this Jesus is so great and glorious, better than anything we ever even imagined. And are you kidding me? He actually wants me to live and dwell with him. He actually did all of that just so I could be with him again. That's the book of Hebrews. This week, here's a commercial break, on Wednesdays in the Word, we're going to start going through the end times. Aren't you glad we all got left behind again? Did you notice that? There was another. Yeah, it's been like 46 times or something like that in my life, got left behind. But what I want to do is for 4 weeks, I want to share with you about the end times, which we've been in for 2,000 years, by the way, various forms of end times. And what I really want to impart, because every time there's one of these prophecies again, so-called prophecies about here's the end times, Jesus coming back, and it's always filled with fear. It's always filled with, oh man, this is going to be horrible. The apocalypse is on us and volcanoes are going to erupt. We're all going to die. And it comes across like that, right? That's not why Jesus talked about the end times. And that was not at all what Jesus had in mind when he began to prophesy things to come. He intended his church to be filled with hope, to be filled with an expectation that because he sits on the throne, all of the earth is going to shout his praise like we sang earlier. He intends to be triumphant, which he already is, but he wants to see his people now triumph and subdue everything under the feet of Jesus. It doesn't look like some things that have happened in history. It looks like something we've never even seen before that we've had a taste of here and there. It's going to be great and glorious. So if you're in need of encouragement and you never want to be afraid of the Antichrist or the end times again, come Wednesday night. And don't just watch it on Facebook, by the way. I like having people in a room. It's more interactive. It's not like talking to a camera and, you know, like empty seats. It's weird. It's weird. You don't want me to be weirder, right? So, all right, so be there on Wednesday night. All right, coming back then. Hebrews 10. Therefore, brethren, in light of this great, glorious covenant that we've got, in light of all of what Jesus purchased, in light of the fact that we now are considered as brothers, that we are, you know, right there adopted as other sons of the same Father as Jesus, in light of all that, brethren, since we have confidence to enter the holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way. Man, I love that phrase. That phrase could just wreck you right there. All the sacrifices, all the bloodshed for all the centuries, and Jesus said, no more of that. Here's a new and living way. Here's a way that if you're willing to walk in it, you're going to feel so alive it'll scare you sometimes. You know what I'm talking about? Have you ever have those moments, like think of the most joyful moment you've ever had in your life, right? When you feel like your heart could just burst out of your chest. You know what I'm talking about? That's what living means. That's what God does when he brings life. You feel so alive that you just think you're going to have a heart attack, which would defeat the purpose, you know what I mean? So by a new and living way, which he inaugurated us through the veil that is his flesh, since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. So in light of all of what Jesus did, what's our response? Let's draw near to him. There's this wide open door into his loving presence. There's nothing in the way any longer. None of our stuff can stand in the way of us and him. In light of that, let's come in full assurance of faith. Our hearts have been sprinkled from our evil conscience. Our body's been washed like with pure water. Hold on to the confession of our faith without wavering. What's the confession of our faith? Jesus died, he rose from the dead, and now he lives in me. That's the confession of our faith. It's as simple as that. That's what it means to be a Christian, as we call ourselves. That Jesus died, he rose from the dead, now he's alive forevermore because he's alive in me. How do I know he's alive? Man, you should see what's going on the inside 24/7 of what Jesus is doing, renovating the house and fixing me up to look like what I was made to be, what you were made to be. Isn't that? That's an awesome thing. So hold on without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And here comes some other things. Here's the last one. Let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and to good deeds. To break it down real quick, to consider means to think about when you're not present with somebody. So like, I went camping with my girls, and I was away at Ricketts Glen for a couple of nights there, just me and the little girls, and I was away from my wife for 2 nights. Well, I couldn't text because there's no cell phone signal, but I made this journal, and every time I was thinking about her, I wrote it down because I wanted her to know you're on my mind even though I'm not with you right now. Even though we can't communicate because they don't put a cell phone tower 3,500 feet up on the mountain. I don't know why. So I wrote it down. I want to tell you that means more to her in the world because she knows this is the heart of romance, men. I was thinking about you even though you weren't there. She needs to know that. This is a freebie, extra, nothing to do with the message. Men, soon-to-be husbands, fiancés, whatever, this is how you romance your wife. Make sure she knows. All those times that you think about her, but you don't say anything, say something. Write it down. I use Evernote. It's an app. It saves my life because I write down everything. It's 3/4 of my brain now is contained in that little app right there, including all the things that if my wife was next to me, I'd say to her, but I don't know, but I'm squirrely. Most men are. By the time I get home and 3 other things happen, I forgot what happened 3 thoughts ago. Men are like that. So write it down. Consider. That's what it means to consider. I'm thinking about you when you're not there. So I want to exhort all of you, if Hillside's your family, think about each other even when we're not gathered. Think about each other and pray for one another. Think about one another and think, how could I encourage so-and-so? Hey, you know, so-and-so looked down the other day at the gathering, or so-and-so looked down at the picnic, or, man, God just laid so-and-so on my heart. I've got to do something about that. Consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. So you see somebody who's part of the family, who's been inactive or on the side, think about, hey, how can I stimulate that one to get back in the game? How can I encourage that one, provoke that one to get deeply involved again? That's what that means. And here's the primary way that we do it. And he saved the best for last. Not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. So the more time goes on, the closer we get to that great and glorious day of the return of the Lord, all the more encourage one another. Encourage one another. Put courage into each other's heart. Find a way to take someone who is discouraged and bring them out of that place and into the place of encouraged. Empty of courage to filled with courage. That's what happens when we assemble together. So when we say some assembly required, the word assembling doesn't just mean to get in the same building. There's something intentional about it. If you got all the parts in the box of that horrific toy that you have to assemble, they're in the box together, right? You could shake it up. Remember those old model airplanes and stuff? They probably still make them right now, and they come in the plastic mold, and they're all like attached with those little things together. So, you know, you got them all. Well, sometimes that's what church is like, isn't it? Like, we're all in the mold, and we're all just kind of stiff. Okay, pastor, tell us something today. Or, you know, okay, worship team, worship for me right now. We're all stuck in the mold. How about we get out of the mold and actually get in the game? Stiff in the mold is not what we were made to be. To be assembled together means I'm out of this trap of uselessness. I'm out of this trap of not participating, and now I'm actually getting glued together with the saints. And because I'm glued together, I care about what happens. I'm intimately concerned. I'm deeply concerned with that Christ would meet you today in a way that would change your life, that would cause Christ in you to grow, that would cause you to come out of that place of anxiety and into a place of peace, out of that depression and into a place of joy. I'm connected to you now, so I care about what's happening with you. That's what it means to be assembled. So here is the dictionary definition. This is from the Word Study Greek Dictionary of the word assembling, episunagoge. I think I said that right, actually. That's amazing. It means the act of gathering or assembling together, not as a solitary or occasional act, but as a customary conduct. Not betraying one's attachment to Jesus Christ and other believers. See, it's a betrayal of the church, in a sense, when I withhold Christ in me and say, I'm just going to keep it at home and I'm going to keep it in my isolated world. Why? Because Christ gave you something that somebody else needs, or maybe a lot of somebody's need. And to withhold it. We had a word this morning about how there's treasure in the field. And you can hide that treasure, like the one with the one talent did, and just kind of bury it and keep it off to the side. And in a sense, that's a betrayal to the body, because somebody needs what you carry. There's nothing insignificant, as I'll illustrate in just a second. And not avoiding one's own personal responsibility as part of the body of Christ. That's what it means to assemble together. It doesn't just mean, hey, I'm going to church this week. It means I'm coming to gather with the saints in an intentional way to bring life to somebody, to bring my portion. Yeah, to receive. Of course, we all receive when we come together. I receive every Sunday. I can't wait for Sunday mornings. Not because I can't wait to blab at you. I can't wait to interact with people. I can't wait. The hugs, the encouragement, the conversation, the everything about it. I just love Sunday mornings because I'm around the best people in the world. That's just bragging about Hillside because I'm biased toward Hillside. I mean, we're around saints. We're around people who are eternal holy ones of God. Man, it doesn't get better than that. It shouldn't get any better than that anyway. Maybe it doesn't get better because we're still in that mold. Well, like, hey, how you doing? Too blessed to be stressed. You know, we're not like actually embracing each other and ministering to each other. So when we take our responsibility as part of the body of Christ, that's what it looks like. So I have an illustration for you, because hopefully this will stick in your mind. So we want to shine light, right? You are the light of the world. We together, when we represent the fullness of Christ, none of us individually represents the fullness, but we together represent the fullness of Christ. So if I were to assemble a flashlight, what's a part that I'm going to need to put a flashlight together? We need the battery. Okay, who's got... Wayne. I haven't done that in years. All right, that was a little inside joke. I'll let you in on the first time when Warren started coming to the church. I called him up from front. I called him Wayne. I don't know why. He just looks more like a Wayne than a Warren to me. I think your parents got it wrong. So he mocked me relentlessly. every time he'd call me, every time he'd talk to me, say, "Hey, Steve, it's Wayne." And he got it so in my head that I still do it sometimes. So Warren's got the battery. Come on up here, Warren. Warren's got the battery. Now, Warren's got the power. You know, in some circles in the church, it's all about the power. We got to have the power of God manifest in some kind of way. And we make fun of ourselves, right? Sometimes we get a little bit goofy when it comes to power. Like all of a sudden, you're transformed into somebody else. The power! You start talking like, who are you? You know, the power of God comes. And it's not as though there aren't times when the Spirit of God comes on you, your heart doesn't start racing, you get a little jacked up. I know I do that too. And it's, you know, it's not that. But you don't have to be transformed into your favorite preacher on the television. You don't have to talk like a Southerner. All of a sudden, I don't know, how many people end up with a Southern accent when the, you know, all of a sudden, I don't know, it's just odd to me. So anyway, that was a ridiculous soapbox. Come back, Holy Spirit. All right, so we got the power of God. Thank you. So Warren came today and he had some impartation of the power of God in some kind of way. Is that shining the light yet? I'm not feeling it yet. I'm not seeing anything yet. I mean, this is great. If I lick both terminals, you'll see something. But, you know, I should be like, do it. There's my son in the back going, come on, Dad. That would be a sermon illustration we never forget. You're right. All right, so I've got the power. Thank you. So Warren contributed his part to the gathering. But on its own, it's just a part. It's not the whole thing. What else do we need if we want to have a... you can sit back down. I'm not going to make you lick the battery. Okay. What else do we need if we want to shine light in the room? We need a lens. Who's got the light? The lens with the light on it. Liz, did you take it on purpose? Liz is actually, she majored in theater lighting. Did you know that? Oh, it was small and light. All right. So Liz has this, these two things together. This is another part of shining the light, but these two things together, I don't even know what this would do. I should have tested this. It does nothing.
It's not quite there.
We do. All right, so Liz brought her part. But what if Liz didn't bring her part? What if Liz stayed in her seat and went, look, I'm just a light, you know, light bulbs, and I can't really do anything on my own, so I'm going to just stay in my seat with my part. Are we going to be able to make a flashlight? We're not yet. Okay, thank you. All right, so what's the big part that's missing right here? The case. We need something to hold it all together. All right, Matt's got the case. So Matt is now going to bring, what is that? That smells so good. Matt's got the case. Now, Matt actually, amazingly, is a man of organization and order. He's one of our deacons, and he's the one who keeps the grounds in shape and all of that kind of thing. Now, on its own, Matt's got the container, but how many of you know an empty container is no better than an empty head? Right? He's got it. Something's got to hold it all together, but it's not all about just holding everything together. It's like at the end of 1 Corinthians 14, it says, but let everything be done decently in order. Some people who just read that one scripture in the entire chapter are like this. It's all orderly right now, yeah, and there's no light shining out of it. There's no power present. There's no actual thing to show that this has anything to do with God. It's just really orderly, right? Thank you. You want to sit down. I know you do. Thank you. So Matt contributed his part in the assembling together of the saints. Let's put it all together and see what happens. Now you think this is going to work now, right? It's all together. We've got the head screwed on right. But it's not happening right now. Nothing's happening right now. The battery's good. The lens is good. The casing's good. See, now this is the part that I want to exhort you about. These are the obvious parts. These are the external parts, right? Everybody knows you need a battery for a flashlight. Everybody knows you need a case. Everybody knows you need a light on the front. But then there's some parts that are invisible. There's some parts that connect on the inside that maybe will never be manifest. You'll never know that they exist except in their absence. And some, it's like being a custodian. How many of you know that most people don't thank the custodian for how clean a building is? But everybody notices the parts that the custodian missed. If the bathroom's not cleaned, you notice. But not many think, oh, wow, they must have a really diligent custodian here because this bathroom's always clean. There's some parts in the body of Christ that you don't even notice until they're absent. And you realize, man, there's just something missing right now. There's something not connecting. All the visible parts seem to be here. Why isn't there something going on? It's because there's this one little part that goes on the inside. Todd, you have it, right? So Todd's got this thing, and boy, is this, you know, I didn't even realize how prophetic who it was that I gave all these to. Somebody's got to be able to join together. This is where joints come in handy. And on the inside of this flashlight, only tinkerers like myself would even notice. This little thing right here is what connects the battery to the light. And without it, this tiny little part, this little cheap piece of made in China plastic with metal on it, if it's not in there, then it's not going to work. So if Todd would think, you know, I'm just this, I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with that. So I'm going to keep it to myself. I'm going to withhold it. But we don't have the full picture and we don't have light. But if we put it all together, hey, could you hold that for me? If we connect all the parts together, if each part brings their portion of Christ to a gathering of the saints, if everybody is willing to say, you know what, I'm together, well, now you got it. Don't look right at the light. See, I did that so you'd look right at it. Wait. So here's the other place in the scriptures then where the word assembly is used. Oh, there's that picture I was looking for. I'm the least tech savvy. So that's them putting up the tabernacle that I shared about like 15 minutes ago. That was the picture that was supposed to be there. So you see, if all the parts, and all the parts have to come in order too, don't they? When you're putting a building together, you don't start with the roof. You don't put the drywall up before you put the plumbing and electrical inside the walls. Ask me how I know. There's certain order to the parts, right? If this part goes first and then that one can build on that, it's kind of what happens in our pre-service prayer time. Somebody will pray something, have a vision or a picture. Hey, I was thinking about that too. I was praying, and then somebody prays and it kind of all comes together. That's what our corporate gatherings are like. You know, maybe the musician has a song and something begins to flow and somebody says, hey, that reminds me of this thing. And, oh, and this thing started bubbling up in me and all the parts begin to come together. And that's what a church service should look like. So everybody gets meant. So when it says there in Hebrews, encouraging one another, the word for encouragement, parakaleo, it means to call to one side. So in encouragement doesn't just mean to shout from the sidelines, come on, you can do it. Encouraging means, hey, let me pull you close to myself right now, either physically or somehow spiritually. Look, I'm aiming to pull us all together close as I'm sharing with you right now. I'm aiming to keep an atmosphere of a living room where we're just talking, even though we're a larger group that could fit in most of our living rooms. To call to one side, we call someone together. And this word, encouragement, is actually the first word that Jesus used to describe the ministry of the Holy Spirit. The paraclete, you may have heard. In John 16, at the Last Supper, Jesus said, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. We talked about this a few weeks ago. One of the most shocking statements Jesus ever made was, you are better off without my physical embodied presence. Why? Because if I send the Holy Spirit, he'll be on the inside of thousands and millions of believers. I'll multiply myself out throughout the world like this. Me and my one physical body, I'm limited in time and space. So, it's to your advantage I go away, for if I don't go away, the helper, the paraclete, the parakletos is the way you say it in the Greek. Same word as encourage, the encourager, the one who stands alongside. It's literally a legal term. This is somebody who's standing by your side to advocate for you, to protect you, defend you, to supply all of your needs. If I don't go away, the helper won't come. If I go, I'll send him to you. So when we talk about encouraging one another, when we're in the presence of one another, gathered to encourage, it literally means the Holy Spirit's here to do what he does best. But how is he going to do it? Through the people who are gathered together. There are times, for sure, that the glory of God fills a room and everybody independently just hears from him. Those are great, wonderful times. And we look forward to having more of those times. We've had some. We look forward to them becoming even more common. But the default setting, if you will, of how Jesus provides the ministry of the helper, the Holy Spirit, is through his people. That's the default. That's his goal and aim. If God wanted to just subdue the whole world under his feet, if God just wanted to kind of take it over the simplest way possible, he could have just done it without us. He could have, you know, put Satan and his angels and all the animals and everything he made under his own feet. But he created us to rule over the world. He created us with the idea that I'm going to be embodied in my image in the earth, and wherever they go, I go. And we get in on the action. We're not just on the sidelines saying, go, Jesus. we're in the middle of the game going, go, Jesus, manifest yourself out of me. Is that, you understand what I'm saying? So the paraclete ministers through us in a lot of different ways, both with and without words. Making the Spirit manifest means bringing any kind of encouragement, any form of encouragement that benefits someone by meeting their need in a way that draws them nearer to God. So really, when it comes, we've been talking about the different gifts and graces and manifestations of the Spirit in the last few weeks. Anyway, what's the best gift? The one that meets the need of that person. And specifically, when God's in it, when it's either Christ or the Holy Spirit who's in it, you not only meet the temporal need or the heart, need of the heart, but that meeting of the need literally draws that person closer to the Lord. That's how you know that it's a spiritual gift in operation. It doesn't just end with the need being met. It means that that person now has their heart turned to the Lord, and this could be their turning point in life. That's what's going on with that. So most of the way that the Holy Spirit works is by speaking words. Prophecy is the one that 1 Corinthians 14 is mainly talking about, by speaking words. I hope by now we've demystified prophecy a little bit. There are times that for sure there's power moving when prophecy's going on, but supernatural means to be supernaturally. It means that we don't have to get into spiritual weirdness in high places, that when we speak, when God's moving in our heart, it can sound just like it does when you're speaking in a normal conversation, but all of a sudden the tears begin to flow. All of a sudden, the eyes begin to open wide because Jesus is now communicating something to that person's heart that makes them know God's present right now. These aren't just the encouraging words of a human being. This is God now communicating through a human being directly to your heart. So sometimes it comes in practical ways, though. Like, there was this guy, you know, one of the spiritual gifts is giving. And giving doesn't just mean that I'm generous in my tithes and offerings. Giving means that I'm able to supply temporal needs to people. And there was this guy in the first church that I was at when I was born again. Boy, you want to talk about a crazy Holy Ghost church, man. This place was just, I was this Episcopal boy raised, you know, I wore the robes and everything. And then all of a sudden I was just in this like tent meeting type atmosphere and it was nuts. But there was life in that place, and I was drawn to it. I thought, these guys are all crazy, but I couldn't deny that I felt something, and my life was changing by the things that were happening in our gatherings there. But anyway, there was this guy, and he used to come to church gatherings, all of them, with a set amount of money. And his intention was, I'm going to give all of this away, and I'm going to prayerfully look around, and there was about 1,200 people in the church. I'm going to just look around and pray. And whoever I feel like God draws me to, I'm going to pray, well, how much do I give that one? And every gathering, every Sunday, he'd give away all of his money. He never told me how much it was. He said, that's between me and the Lord, and it changes based on how my business is doing. But I've got a portion of it. He was providing encouragement. He gave me the exact, how I found out about it, he gave me the exact amount that I needed to pay a bill that I didn't have the means to pay. And all he did, and he said, I said, how did you know? He said, I don't know. That's just, I prayed, and that was a number that came to my heart. Simple as that. The man got a word of knowledge. That's a spiritual gift. That's one of the manifestations. He just knew in his mind. It didn't come from some whoo. He just prayed in his heart, and that was the number that came to mind. He got a word of knowledge. Has any of you ever had that experience? You've just prayed, and all of a sudden, you just knew something that you didn't know before you prayed. Raise your hand if that's ever happened to you before. You had a word of knowledge. That's how it works. I'm going to get you all believing that you have at least one or more of these manifestations of the Spirit. I'm telling you, it's just a matter of being courageous enough to know that, you know what? I might be just one of the parts of this thing, but without my part, it's missing something, and it's natural to me. It's supernaturally to me. So that's what this guy did. You know, sometimes the gift of mercy, how many know that sometimes mercy comes without words? Like the gift of comforting somebody when they're trying. Steve, can you stand up for a second? Sorry to keep using you today. One of the things about Steve is that if you're in need of the Father's love and heart, all you got to do is get close to him and go like this. Like that. That's a gift of mercy that just flows out of the man. I haven't even asked him what he thinks the spiritual gifts are, but I know that's one of them. Because when you hug this man, you just feel like the Father himself just wrapped his arms around you. He didn't need to use any words. So if you came here today discouraged, man, right there, like a big teddy bear, just, you know, and you just feel the grace of God, the love of God pouring out of him into you without words being said. So not all of the manifestations of the Spirit involve speaking words, but most of the time words are being used. So let's talk about some of the things that can happen in a corporate gathering. What did I do with my clicker? Things that can happen in a corporate gathering, and then we'll practice it. Because remember, I'm not here to do the work of the ministry. I'm here to equip the saints for the work of ministry. So here's the end of 1 Corinthians 14, which is a chapter. I want to encourage all of you who are part of Hillside to read it, consume it, and ask God to unveil it to you. I'm doing it in little bits and pieces here. We can't cover the whole chapter on Sunday mornings. It would be too much. But we want to go after something where when we come together, there's an undeniable living presence of God in our midst. Okay? So if the whole church assembles together and everybody speaks in tongues, let me just address what that means for a second. In the Corinthian church, the sign that it seemed like they were going after, there are many spiritual gifts, but the one they were valuing above and beyond all the other ones seemed to be speaking in tongues. Now, tongues in the scriptures could be foreign languages that were not learned by the person speaking them. They could also be spiritual languages, like 1 Corinthians 13, though I speak in tongues of men and of angels. So there's a spiritual language too. This church was all caught up in tongues, it seems. And they were that was the one that they were really going after. The problem with tongues is that for the most part, unless somebody interprets the tongues, it's just to build yourself up. So it'd be like any kind of manifestation of the Spirit that's just for your own edification. It doesn't do anybody else any good. It just builds you up. So sometimes, you know, people tremble and shake. All kinds of things happen when the Spirit of God comes on them. That's awesome, by the way. We're not going to take away from the need for that. Because if we're built up as individuals, that makes us better lovers of people. If we are full of the Holy Spirit, it makes us more able to minister powerfully the love of God in its various forms. That's the purpose of being filled up. But that's not what we're gathered together for. You could do that at home, and I hope you do, in the privacy of your own prayer closet. If you've been baptized in the Spirit and you speak in tongues, speak away. Do it for, you know, until you feel filled. Just keep doing it. But when we gather, it says if everybody's speaking in tongues and an ungifted man or an unbeliever comes in, won't they say that you're mad? Not like angry mad, but out of your mind mad. Now, we already give people plenty enough reason to think we're crazy. Right? For being a Christian, just the fact that you and I believe that a man died and rose from the dead makes us already, for many people, in a category of cray-cray. So we don't need to give any ammunition to that. We're already, you know, I've talked to people around the town, you know, I've been here for a while and just getting to know people and hearing, so what do you think about Hillside? I wouldn't tell people I was the pastor yet. So tell me about that Hillside church. Oh man, they're nuts. They dance on the seats. They swing from the chandeliers and all that. And I was like, we have recessed lighting. You know, that's, come on. So we don't want to give people more ammunition for it, but we do want to have things where God is actually present in a way that people can walk in and see. So Paul goes on, he says, but look, if everybody prophesies, meaning, as we know earlier in the chapter, if everybody comes either prepared to share or willing to get into the atmosphere and pray in the Spirit until something bubbles up. That's the purest meaning of the word prophecy. Something that wells up on the inside. You ever feel like you want to say something to somebody and you feel like, man, if I don't get to say this, I'm going to burst. You ever feel that way? Jeremiah described it. He said, I feel like I got fire shut up in my bones. He said, if I don't get to speak, I'm going to explode. It's not always that extreme. But it just feels like something welling up on the inside of you that you have an urgent desire to share. Let me just say this about hearing the voice of God. There's always this thing, and I've walked with so many people through this thing about, well, how do I know if it's me or if it's the Lord? Have you ever asked that question? I want to speak as an oracle of God, and I'm terrified that I might say something and get it wrong. You know what I'm talking about? Nod your head if you know what I'm talking about, just so I know how to go on or not. Okay, all right, so here's my proposal to you. Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, right? All my sheep know my voice. Not just the ones who got trained somewhere, not just the super saints who prophesy and preach. All of my people, all of my sheep know my voice. So you know the voice of the good shepherd. You know how I know that? Because you heard his voice call your name, and that's why you gave your life to him. No, but Jesus said, no man can come to me unless the Father draws him. You heard the voice, you responded to it. Now here's what I want to propose. If we're in an attitude of prayer, meaning my heart is set toward the Lord right now, I'm not just self-serving, I'm not just, hey, what dumb thing can I do or say today? But we have our heart inclined toward the Lord, that whatever it is that our heart is beginning to think about is from the Lord. Why do we have more faith to believe that we're going to fail and get it wrong than we have faith that the Good Shepherd can communicate to our hearts and that we could speak what we hear and that it was from Him? See, this is a fear thing that we just have to reject and throw to the side. That this is one of those thinking lying, what is it, Bill Johnson calls spirit of stupid things. It's just not right. It's not right. If your attitude is right and your heart's toward the Lord, then speak and God's going to speak through you. I shared with you last week some things, you know, about prophecy and how to judge prophecy. You can look that over again. I don't want to say it again because I more want to encourage everybody to speak. I want to exhort you that you also, the manifestation of the Spirit's been given to everyone for the profit of everyone. You've got it. It's in you. Earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, but especially that you might prophesy. That's a scriptural command. So, let's do it. So, if an unbeliever comes in, or an ungifted man comes in, he's convicted by everybody. He's called account to all. He's called into account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. And let me just say what that means. That does not mean that somebody gets a word of knowledge about somebody's sin and calls it out in the middle of a church gathering. That's not what it is at all. Jesus doesn't do that. He's not like that. If that's ever happened to you, I am so sorry that somebody abused their spiritual gift and embarrassed you publicly. I feel like I'm speaking to somebody. They had an embarrassing experience. Somebody said some things or did something, and you felt totally exposed in front of the whole church. Jesus does not do that. The Father is not like that. He's just not. So the secrets of somebody's heart being disclosed feels like you ever go in and somebody's speaking something, maybe even in the message. I've had people say this. It felt like you were speaking right to me today. You ever get that feeling? You go to church service and somebody's just speaking to a whole crowd of people and you say, man, it felt like you were speaking right to me. I've had people say that. You've heard people say that. That's what this means. The secrets of his heart are disclosed. It's like Holy Spirit's communicating right to what I needed to hear in that moment. So it says, if all prophesy, if everybody communicating with one another, whether during the fellowship times or maybe you have something that you share from up front, this is what happens when somebody who's not a believer comes in and they say, man, I felt like God just talked to me. I felt like I just sat down and looked into the loving eyes of the Father in heaven. And he just spoke to me like a father who said, come on, son, sit down. We need to talk. I want to share my love for you. I want to help you adjust some things in your life so you come into all the joy that I want for you. I felt like I just sat on daddy's knee. That's the feeling that we're describing here. He'll fall on his face and worship God, declaring that God is certainly among you. Now, let me just give you some options here. And I want to share about these briefly, and then we're going to practice it. What's the outcome then, brethren? When you assemble, there's that word again. When you come together intentionally bringing your portion of Christ, ready to share it and ready to receive from those who are sharing, when you assemble, each one has a psalm, each one has a teaching, each one has a revelation, each one has a tongue, each one has an interpretation. Let, or you could properly translate that word, permit all things to be done for edification. Let me just quickly go through these and see if one of them in particular is something you feel like you could flow in. Psalm, each of you has a psalm. Literally, that means from the book of Psalms. That's actual the meaning of the word. Each of you has a psalm. There are 150 psalms. I don't know how many I've put to memory so far, but that seems like if I'm going to memorize a book of the Bible, that's going to be the one because I'm reading my own heart sometimes. You know, it's one thing, say you're in the middle of a really desperate season of life, and somebody could come to you or, you know, your friend could come, put their arm around you and say, don't worry, it's going to be okay. That's nice. That's a nice word of comfort. But how about if you begin to speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, you say, hey, you know what? Why are you downcast, O soul? Put your trust in God. There's something just more powerful about the actual words written in the scriptures. We're exhorting to worship, right? Let's say the worship team, we've asked the worship team to come prepared to lead out like this. So it's one thing to say, hey, come on, guys, let's worship. Let's get our hearts toward the Lord right now. Be another thing to get up and say, shout joyfully to the Lord all the earth. Right? And go on and, you know, serve the Lord with gladness. Come on, let's come before him with thanksgiving. Let's come into his gates with thanksgiving. Let's enter his courts with praise. There's something more powerful about it when it's right out of the Word of God, isn't there? So that's a beginning place. If you want to speak in a way that encourages the body, read the Psalms. Come to church with a psalm on your heart even. As you're praying for the church, as you're praying for the gathering on Sunday morning, ask the Lord, hey, is there a psalm in particular that I could voice and give expression to that would encourage us, either provoke us toward worship, to provoke toward love and good works? Maybe there's something that I could bring and share, something that you can open up and just read the psalm. You don't even have to memorize it. Because I go blank too. I just had to look at the words of a psalm. There was the first psalm I memorized was Psalm 100. It just went blah, 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 out of my head when I tried to quote it. So you can read right out of your Bible. Read it out of the Passion Translation. And it's powerful. Psalms in the Passion Translation. Unbelievable. Caught up in the heavenlies. Okay? And it could be any song, though. It could be this, like we made a declaration. Wasn't that powerful, by the way, what happened here? I want to tell you what Corey did earlier. He had just come over to me and he said, I feel like we're supposed to declare something. I said, all right, what is it? He said, I don't know. I just feel like God wants us to declare some things right now. I said, all right, Corey, let's pray. Let's ask God what he wants us to declare. And then we sang a song that is a complete declaration. All the earth will shout your praise. These hearts will cry. These bones will sing, right? I mean, that whole song was a declaration. Why? The Spirit of God was moving, and that's what he wanted us to do. Corey caught wind of it. He sniffed out what the Holy Spirit wanted to do. And want you to know that song was on Andy's heart. Andy, by the way, was all over the place. He had a list of songs, but I said, just flow with whatever you feel like the mood of the Spirit is. That song, right at that moment, that's how it works. So he exhorted with psalms this morning. That was another kind of song. It could be from the Scriptures. It could be a new song. But the point of it, the point of a psalm is to incline our hearts toward the Lord. In fact, the point of any ministry is to get our hearts back in touch with the Father. That's all ministry, to experience his love so that our hearts will be turned back to him again in some way or another. All right, so each of you has a psalm. Each of you has a... Each of you has a teaching. Sorry, I need you to move the slides ahead. This thing stopped. Each of you has a teaching. That's an explanatory word which shifts our understanding to help us draw nearer to God so that we can, by knowing him more accurately. So an exhortation, including instruction, that's what a teaching is. So for example, there are times that we've had people come forward. This is my primary flow when it comes to ministry, is teaching. But to explain something, like to get up and say, you know, the heart of the Father is always towards you. The Father, you know, to get up and teach and say, you know, the prodigal son, when he came home, the Father had his arms wide open. In fact, he ran down the road to meet him. And that's how the Father wants to meet you today. All you have to do is turn your heart back toward him and take a step in his direction. And he comes and runs towards you. That's a teaching. Right? I just expounded on a parable that communicated, hey, the Father right now loves you, and he wants to connect with you right now. So come prepared with those kind of things. Now, a slight word of caution with the teaching thing is make sure it lines up with the doctrine of the church. So anything spoken in public, if it's really off and hurtful, and that's pretty much the dividing line. If it's hurtful, it'll need to be corrected so nobody leaves hurt. But don't let that deter you. You know the church, you've been here, all of you have been here for a while, you know the scriptures, you know the heart of God, communicate it in a teaching. Okay, the next one. Each of you has a psalm, each of you has a teaching, each of you has a revelation. This is where we start getting more into the realm of what we call prophecy. That's a word that unveils the mind and heart of God, unveiling things in the invisible world so that they could be understood by all, not just for understanding's sake, but so we could grab hold of it. So these are the things, like somebody was praying this morning about words of knowledge. This is when you're praying, you're in worship, and all of a sudden you get the sense like, you know, I feel like God wants us to pray for people who are sick today. And I just have this desire to pray for the sick today. That's an unveiling. That's a revelation, revealing what's on God's heart right now. This is what he wants us to do together. That's what a revelation means. Now, all of us are capable of doing that, and I want to tell you that the floor is open in this church. We have an open mic policy. And what we do right now is just for the sake of giving you confidence and to assist with the flow of the Spirit, come on over and talk to me or whoever's up in the front. And you'll see that very rare is it that someone comes over and shares something where they don't end up in the front. And that's for one of two reasons. Either they say, but please don't make me get up there and say this. And I say, all right, I'll be gracious to you. You get one freebie on this. This is your mulligan. On this. Or it's because in the flow of the meeting, maybe right now is not the time. Let's see where that fits in. As the Spirit of God begins to move that way, then I'll have you come and share that, because it's definitely a part. But remember, when you assemble things, there's an order to it. You can't put this part together before that part comes together. There's a spiritual order that God does when we gather together. All right, so how about we just practice this? I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. And, everybody, the whole worship team, come on up. And in 10 minutes, I'm looking at the time, in 10 minutes, if you have children in the back, you got to go get them, even if we're in the midst of worship and ministry. But I'd like to ask you to stand to your feet and take on a posture now in your heart. And the posture is what I just shared with you. That in the midst of now engaging with the Holy Spirit, in the midst of saying, okay, Jesus, I didn't come here just to receive, I came here to give. I want to encourage you to step out and minister in some kind of a way. It could be that you have something to share from up front so that we can respond to what the Holy Spirit's doing. It could be that as we're worshiping the Lord, God puts somebody on your heart and you go over to him and you give him a hug. You say, hey, can I pray for you? Or, hey, you know what? I feel like God wants me to tell you something. And you can do that in the middle of worship. This is how we get not religious. Religious means, hey, there's worship going on right now. I have to stand and face the altar. We don't even have an altar here. That's a weird saying. Well, I got to face up front. Altar's from like the Catholic stuff that we got away from. That's not, we don't have an altar here. You're the altar, all right? You carry that. You get that? I know that might be new for some of you, but this is not the altar up here. This is just where we can see. I can make eye contact with you and you with whoever's speaking up here. But you don't have to come to a place. So you can go and minister to somebody in the midst of worship. There's sometimes you can be sensitive to the Spirit about this, but sometimes, like if we're in the middle of worship, you see tears start streaming down somebody's face. Be sensitive. It might mean that they just need a moment alone with the Lord. It might mean that they need you, if you feel like, I got something to say to that person. I want to help them understand what God's doing in them right now and communicate something and go over and prophesy. Speak what bubbled up in your heart toward them. So in other words, sometimes it's something for the whole church. Sometimes it's just for somebody there. Sometimes it might just be for you alone. It might just be that God just spoke something for you to encourage you in the moment, and that's great too. All right, are we okay with that? All right, so this is how we want to gather. Right now, we're in teaching season. From here on out, ball's in your court, saints. This is how we gather to the Lord. He's alive in the midst, and we're counting on you to offer your portion so that when we assemble, Christ manifests himself. Ted's going to kick us off right now. I love you, Ted, so much you don't even know.
All right, so I'm a teacher. But anyway, while he was speaking, it brought me back to yesterday. I decided I was going to replace my light switches because I had three-way lights in my kitchen. Three-way means you can flick it on one spot and go somewhere else and flick it off and, you know, that kind of thing. It has four wires instead of what I'm usually working with is three. So I was going out of where I felt comfortable. But summing it all up, we spent a year or two with our light switches not working properly. We'd switch one on, switch it off somewhere else, and then you go to flip it on and it wouldn't come on. Have to go somewhere else, flip it off, and figure this out. I was about to call Craig, and then I thought about Joel, and I'm like, oh, I can do this. So Kyle helped me out. Anyway, the solution was, in three-way, there are two traveler wires. I had two switched. They weren't in the right spot. So while Steve was sharing about your gift and what you're doing and step out. We're waiting for you. It could be that you're doing something, but you're not being fully effective, and you need to be in a different spot to be using your gift more effectively. So that's me teaching, me also encouraging and thanking. I had a rough week this week. Gina and I had a rough week. I get a text from Brian LeBone saying, "How you doing? Thinking about you. You guys are on my heart." It wasn't something beyond that, but it was an encouragement at that time that I needed, partly knowing that I had somebody that really strongly cared about me that heard God and touched or reached out to touch me and help me through something that I needed. And then it was simple beyond that, but follow up with the word that you think you hear.
Well, as Pastor Steve shared this morning, sometimes there's things that come inside of you and it just bubbles up and you got to share it. And I want to start this out, first of all, with thanking God for putting people in our lives who are obedient. And I just want to reach out to my brother Joel right now. See, I'm doing this. Thursday night, I had so much pain in my left foot. I've never experienced pain like that in my life. It was extremely painful. And I didn't even know if I was going to be able to walk. And I had a bunch of things on my plate for the next day as far as my work and having to meet with people and things like that. Well, anyways, Friday comes around. I reach out. I do my job. Last night, Joel and Sharon and I got together to do some things. And before he left, he said, "Well, just let me pray for you." Okay? And I said, "Certainly." So he said a prayer for me. And I started to feel relief right then and there. Well, today, when I walked in here, as I walked around, and we were here this morning, and he shared another prayer with me, and I think this is a word for everyone here. He said, as he laid hands on me last night, he brought to remembrance the story of the centurion, who said, "Lord, you know, I'm not worthy, but my slave is sick. And I believe, as I am a man of authority, I can say, you go here, or you do this and they do that. And I believe by your word, Father God, that you can bring healing to him." Jesus had just walked around healing people, touching them, and he was en route to go to the centurion soldier's house. But the centurion soldier sent people out and they met Jesus before he got there. And Jesus said, "I have not found anyone with this amount of faith in all of Israel." And that really rang a bell with me. It's faith. As we stand and we petition God through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, he will absolutely bring things to fruition. And we just have to stand in faith and in hope that he will bring those things into our lives and bring healing forth. It doesn't matter if it's physical healing. It doesn't matter if it's spiritual healing. It doesn't matter if it's emotional healing. But Father God, I just pray today that anyone standing here, that the words would come out of their mouth that I am not worthy of you being in my household, Father God, for you have made us worthy. Through your grace and your mercy, Father God, we are worthy. And I come against the enemy who tries to steal that away from anyone who says that are to themselves, I am not worthy, for you are. Christ went to the cross and he died for you. And Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you, Father God, for the song also that you put on my heart this morning that I didn't share. And it's just Pastor Steve shared today about the power in the lamp. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the lamp. And I thank you for that, Father God, in Jesus' name.
Yeah, I want to give you a chance to respond to that word. If you're in need right now of a gift of faith, I heard the Lord wants to impart, or if you need healing, body, soul, spirit, join with Roy right over here. And I also want to invite you, if you have faith that God wants to use you today to bring healing to somebody, come over here and join so you can lay hands on people too, okay? So right over by this black pole, go ahead and join with Roy and let God meet you where you're at right now. I think we have another word. That's exactly what's on God's heart, too, right here.
I'm going to double back to what Ted was saying about the light switch. This psalm was on my heart today, and it's your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Personally, we're facing a situation where we need to know which direction to go in my family. And the only way we're going to do that is if we get into the word and make the lamp be a guide to our feet so that we know what path to take. So if you're in a situation right now where you don't know what to do and you don't know where to go, what path to take, this way or that way, Jesus, please seek the Lord. Seek the Lord. Open his word and read it. And if you don't understand it, find someone who can help you understand.
Okay, so if you're in need of that right now, Amber's over here. That's a word of wisdom that you're seeking after. If you flow in that gift, you're one that people come to and you have an answer, and it didn't come from you thinking it through, but you just know what to do in situations. Come on over here and join with Amber. But if you're at a crossroads of some sort, as the word just came, please come on over and let the Lord impart that to you through Amber. And you guys can go ahead and just start praying over here. This healing over here, this words of wisdom over here, and we have some more from the heart of God right now for you.
I felt like this is something not just to go to a person, but just to share this. And Roy just shared about Joel. And Joel, I know you hate this, but you've so been on my heart. And I was just going to come over to you, and I felt prompted by the Lord even just to stand up in front. You were on my heart so much last week, and this picture came to my mind of your entire family just standing up front and just the blessing of God being poured over you. And I found out after the fact that it was your 40th wedding anniversary, am I correct, last week? And so that just stirred in my heart, and I couldn't get away from it today. And I just wanted to, what the Lord laid on my heart is that he has seen you in the secret place seeking him for your family. And I just pray blessing over your family, and that for the price that you have paid for them, that you would begin to see fruit of things you've asked him for many years. And that this even would give hope to those who have been praying things for a very, very long time. There's that faith again, not to lose hope, that God is who he says he is, and that he finishes what he starts.
Amen. Thank you for that.
I feel that there's somebody here that has pressure behind their eyes that's actually affecting their head so much that it makes their head hurt. If that's you, I'll be willing to pray for you. I'll be over here.
You hold my every moment. You walk with me through the fire till my disease. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I need. And nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands.
I'm just feeling to, in a godly way, put a couple of you on the spot. If you'd like to grow in your prophetic gift and want to actually put to test the grace of God that's in you, we have three people who are over here in need of a word of wisdom. I'm going to invite you to try something. Hear the need. Pray together with them and see if God gives you anything to share. No pressure. If God doesn't give you anything, then just pray for them. But see if the Spirit of God in you is going to provide you with a prophetic gift of a word of wisdom for one of these three that are over here. Okay, so come on up. This is a let's try it kind of zone. Trust the Holy Spirit in you to move in some kind of way. They're right here waiting for it.
Nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. And nothing is impossible for you. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for you. You hold my world in your hands. I believe you're my healer. I believe you are all I need. I believe you're my portion. I believe you're more than enough for me. Jesus, you're all I
I just want to release you to go ahead and minister to one another. If there's somebody you'd like to talk to, or somebody you feel like, hey, I'd like to pray for that person over there, then just go ahead and minister to each other like that. We do need to go get our children. So if you have kids who are in the children's ministry right now, they're waiting for you. All set to see mom and dad again, or whoever brought them. And God bless you all. Thanks for joining together today.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. For more information on the ministry of Hillside Christian Fellowship, go to our website at www.hillsidechristian.org.